Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, Sign Guy and QT with you here on another Friday afternoon. Real quick, before we jump into things with our guest, for those looking for some pro wrestling this week, tonight, brand new company, very familiar location, Fight or Die Wrestling having its first show at the Outlaw Arena due to building shenanigans. So you'll recognize a lot of those people, but it's a new company there in Indianapolis tonight. Girl Fight happening in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. PAPW in East Haven, Connecticut. AIWF in Chatsworth, Georgia. 3-2-1 versus Hood Slam Wrestling right here in our neck of the woods in Seattle, Washington. AMW in Campton, Kentucky. And BCW in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Tomorrow night, HPW happening in Columbus, Indiana. The annual JD by Ryder benefit show. Bring some canned food to help out the local food bank. You also have DOA Pro Wrestling happening in Portland. AIWF in Lincoln, Alabama. EWF in San Bernardino, California. MPW in Moor Park, California. CSW in Groton, Connecticut. WXW in Mineola, Florida. PGP in Athens, Illinois. HCW in South Bend, Indiana. SCW in Walcott, Iowa. WWA in Owensboro, Kentucky. AWE in Presque Isle, Maine. Price of Glory in Coldwater, Michigan. FLWA in Delano, Minnesota. RSWF in Memphis, Tennessee. And PWA in Hanover, Pennsylvania tomorrow. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest to the program, his first time with us, Paxton Calloway. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, since it is your first time with us here today, we're going to ask you our traditional first-timers question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
What got me into watching, or what got me into it where I am now?
A little of both, if you will.
All right, well, first time I actually, you know, stood up and watched wrestling was my brother actually had on back in 1998 Undertaker versus Mankind, and I think it's pretty easy to see why they got me interested in wrestling. The whole spectacle of it all, the is Mick Foley dead? how I got into it now. I just kind of, it's something I always wanted to do. I've been watching ever since, you know, I was 4 years old in 1998. So I wanted to see if I could try it.
Interestingly enough, the 20th anniversary of that Undertaker Mankind match was just yesterday.
And it's not a coincidence that I brought it up.
Absolutely. Now, when you start to get interested in making this a vocation and getting into the business yourself, did you have any type of background that was going to prepare you for wrestling, be it amateur wrestling or some other sport or some sort of drama background, anything like that?
I played college football, and I feel like that was a good starting point for getting into professional wrestling. I know it's two completely different beasts, but I've always been into athletics and things of that nature.
You are one of the larger people on the independent circuit that I have come across. You're very, very large. Did you find that when you actually did training, being larger than most of the other people involved was a help to your training, or did you find it a little bit of a hindrance when you started actual training?
Well, I can look at it both ways. Professional wrestling training is very different from anything else I've done. There's a lot of ring cardio that goes into it. You know, coming from a football background, if you're not constantly moving, you have that 6 to 10 seconds for play, and you call the next play. Whereas in the ring, you're constantly moving, you're constantly doing stuff. And I found it challenging to kind of keep my air, I guess, without being gassed. But at the same time, I feel like it was also a little bit easier for me to, make a name for it. I don't know if making a name is the right word, but being noticed, I suppose, because obviously I'm a very imposing large man, so...
For the people unfamiliar, could you give them the exact dimensions, height and weight?
I am 7 feet tall and 400 pounds, give or take a little bit, on the weight.
You don't see very many 7 foot tall people on the independent circuit. It's very, very rare. When you were starting out getting bookings and wrestling on shows, did you find the promoters had a hard time finding opponents for you since there's going to be a pretty big size discrepancy whenever you wrestled someone?
I mean, I'm still finding that to be the case. There are some promotions where I'm only really doing run-ins at the moment, and so... Yeah, it's a little bit challenging to find someone to work with sometimes.
And what would you say has been the biggest size difference that you've had between yourself and one of your opponents?
Oh boy, I don't want to call him out and make him feel small because I don't know exactly how short he is, but I want to say he was maybe 5'4", 5'5".
That would be a pretty big discrepancy for sure. Now, in professional wrestling, one of the things that people take a lot of pride in is their wrestling gear. There's a lot of really good-looking gear out there, and there's a lot of gear that's not so professional looking. For yourself, of course, being as big as you are, I'm sure it's a little bit tougher to find a lot of gear. You can't just buy things that are pre-made. What's the gear situation like for you? Do you have a go-to person that makes your gear? Do you have a set look that you try to accomplish and you're able to make that work a little bit easier?
I'm honestly still kind of trying to find myself, like what kind of gear I want to wear. Right now I'm just wearing like the traditional singlet with like a kind of an orange and black theme. I thought orange would kind of help me stand out a little bit. Obviously, I don't really need to, but I just figured orange is a different color that you don't see often. And I got my singlet through High Spots. Before that, I was definitely not most professionally dressed. I had blue jeans and a black A shirt.
One of the
just a regular tank top. So it's very bland, very plain.
Another thing that some wrestlers have in a similar question is a lot of people will use athletic tape, and some wrestlers have a very strict regimen as far as applying it. There's tape traditions out there I've come across in a lot of locker rooms where guys will either tape themselves in a specific way every time, where they will start on one body part first, and it has to be that body part first. Some people write things on their tape. Do you have any type of tape rituals at this point?
At this point, no. I kind of mix it up here and there. Sometimes I always use black tape, but often I'll kind of just do three strips around one wrist, three strips around another. Sometimes I'll wrap around the fist, but I really haven't settled on any type of specific wrist taping.
I know you're still fairly new to the wrestling business, but one of the things that differs greatly from promotion to promotion, town to town, is the actual wrestling rings. Some rings are very nice to get in there and wrestle in. Some of them are a little more hazardous than others, we shall say. Do you have a particular favorite actual ring that you get into to compete?
I don't know if I have a favorite. I know I really like using my home promotion, Mega's ring. Well, they use that. They use AIWs, but, you know, same thing, the one we use for shows there. I was at Stomp Out Cancer 2 down in Lamont Furnace, PA, and they had a nice 18-foot ring that gave me a little bit more room to work in that I really enjoyed.
One of the aspects of wrestling that a lot of promoters will use for younger talent that are still learning the craft is tag teaming. A lot of promoters will pair young guys with more experienced people in a tag team just so they can learn from the more experienced person. Have you found yourself being in very many tag matches at this point?
Well, like I said, with my own promotion, that's almost exclusively what I've been doing at the moment. I've been teaming with Dr. Dan from The Process and Cree Fudo. Shout out to those guys. We're currently tag champions for them. And I've been learning a lot from Dr. Dan. He's been around for a little bit. He's, you know, really taking us under his wing, trying to show us how to put together matches.
Another thing that promoters like to do with bigger guys like yourself is they will put them in battle royals, going back to the early days of wrestling, whenever a promoter would have someone quite a bit taller than everyone else on the roster, they would usually put them in the battle royal to make them stand out. Do you find yourself getting booked into a lot of battle royals so far?
I've actually only found myself booked in one battle royal, and that was actually my first match, which was with Mega.
And when you get into the battle royal, I mean, obviously there's usually a lot of people in there, lots of arms and legs flailing, and it's a lot different than your standard match. Were you able to adapt fairly well going from traditional matches and doing run-ins and that sort of thing to being comfortable in the battle royal?
Well, to be honest, I didn't really have too long to get comfortable in the battle royal. I was only in it for like 30 seconds to toss two people, and everyone else in the match, you know, kind of picked me up and tossed me.
That's the downfall of being a big man. Usually you're the biggest target in there.
There's always a huge target on your back, for sure.
One of the other things in professional wrestling that sometimes will help a newer wrestler is the often overlooked role of referee. Some referees are able to help younger wrestlers out in the ring a little bit with their experience. And referees, just like wrestlers and ring announcers and everything else, vary greatly as far as skill and experience level on the independents. Who would you say are some of the better referees that you've come across so far?
I've had a great experience with all the referees that I've worked with so far. When I worked at Battle on the Borders this couple weeks ago, there's actually a great female ref that, you know, kind of was always letting us know what was going on in the match, you know, keep us updated. I was actually in there with Marty Jannetty from WWE, and he's been dealing with kind of a leg injury, and something happened to it during the match, and she, you know, came over, and I was supposed to have a spot with Marty. She came over and let me know that he wasn't doing great with his injury, so I had to kind of think about what I was going to change. So that was very helpful.
Another thing that sometimes will help newer wrestlers, especially a bigger wrestler traditionally in wrestling, is a manager. It's sort of a dying art form. You don't see as many as you used to see out there, but on the independent circuit, you still see some pretty good managers. Has the promoters you've worked for so far either put you with a manager or perhaps suggested looking for a manager for you?
As of right now, I haven't really worked with a manager yet, no.
Now, as someone that is rather large like yourself and is still new to the business, have you ever gone on a look just yourself to see if you could find a full-time manager to travel with or anything like that? Just maybe just a cursory look to see who is out there?
To be honest, I haven't really thought about it. I just kind of try to do my own thing and...
Fair enough. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has a few questions, so I'm going to pass you over to him for a bit.
All right. Sounds awesome.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Mr. Calloway.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. Pretty good. Mr. Calloway, I saw your YouTube video entitled Paxton Calloway versus Alfredo / World's Best Wrestling. My first question is, did this take place on or about February 26th of this year?
Yes, it did.
Oh, okay. For the record, can we have the date and month of your birth? This is very important.
Why do you need to know the date and month of my birth?
Well, I'm not going to rip off your financial records. It's just that I have a game called Guess That Wrestler's Astrological Sign, but I'm not going to do that today with you because, well, you're a pretty complex person from my video analysis.
All right. I was born May 13th.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. May 13th. It's just that, Mr. Calloway, I have a 7-7 record of Guess That Wrestler's Zodiac Sign based on video analysis, and I believe I would go down to defeat if I didn't have that information from you, or I tried to get it. Yes, you would have been my first defeat.
Why do you say that?
Well, I think... that you're, of all the wrestlers that I have videotaped, you seem to be very complex. You're not bright sunlight or pitch darkness. You're like twilight. Yes, twilight. It would be very hard to get a read on you. Some wrestlers I can instantly guess the zodiac sign. Yes, like a Pisces.
What makes you feel that I'm so complex, if I can ask?
Well, I bet that while you were in college, you stuck to the arts and probably were maybe an English major. Am I correct in that? English was one of your strong subjects?
Swing and a miss.
Damn. Okay, were you into physics and
physics, no.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just like some wrestlers, like Eugene. Eugene would be very easy to read, his character. And so would The Undertaker. They're very polarizing. You are a mix of like lukewarm water. You're a thermal layer between a warm layer of water and ice cold water. You are the water in between. You're like a buffering zone. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yes.
I'll take that as a compliment, I think.
Oh, yes, with your things, yes, I have no choice. Yes, for some reason, I just thought it would be very bad to put my undefeated guess that zodiac sign with you. Yes.
All right, fair enough. I appreciate the honesty.
You would be like a high-paced drifter. You're like the gray coat. You don't make peace with a blue coat. Yes. You're like Outlaw Josie Wales.
I like the way you put that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Calloway, the announcer said that Alfredo weighed in at 270 meatballs. My question is, what is your favorite among these three classic meatball dishes? Sweet and sour meatballs in a Hawaiian glaze, classic meatballs in a garlic marinara sauce, or Swedish meatballs. What's your
favorite? I got to go with the classic meatball and the garlic marinara. You can't go wrong.
No. Okay, you're not a very big fan of the sweet and sour, huh?
I mean, I eat everything, so I would also eat that. But if I given the choice, I would have to go with the garlic marinara.
Okay, all right. I'm going to circle that. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. Calloway, you hit him with three brutal knife-edge chops in the match, and the impact was like a rifle shot. Would you say you hit Mr. Fredo with some of the top 10 knife-edge chops you have thrown?
The ones that I've thrown? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That match you were on top. Okay. Wow. Poor Mr. Fredo. Now, what's the hardest knife edge shot that you yourself have been hit with?
Hardest one I've hit with so far? Gotta be my trainer, Brandon X for Mega.
Oh, wow, okay.
He chopped the hell out of me.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Calloway, in 2010, the U.S. Census Bureau surveyed 16,689 people with the last name Calloway. And if you manage to meet 100,000 people in your life, chances are that six of them will have Calloway as their last name. There's no.
It's a very interesting sample.
Yes. No question there. Okay. Well, Paxton, what position did you play in high school football, and at what position in college did you play?
I don't know how familiar you are with football position or football, but I was, believe it or not, a guard in high school, and in college I was moved over to tackle. But if you can envision a 7-foot guard on the offensive line, you can probably see how well people were able to throw over me.
Well, now, when you say guard, did you turn out for all 4 years in high school in football? 4 years?
Oh, no, I was only able to play for 1 year.
Oh, okay. And at what? And at that, I take it that might have been your senior season.
Yes. Backstory behind that is I had previously gone to a high school that actually didn't have football as a sport available to people, so I ended up transferring. And the rule basically said that if you transferred for anything other than moving, basically that you would have to sit out a year from athletic competition. So that's basically why I only played 1 year of high school football.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, as a senior, did you play offensive guard or defensive guard?
Offensive guard.
Was it right guard or left guard?
Right guard.
Oh, okay, right guard. Holy smoke. Okay, so you may have had to fill out slightly, I would think, during your high school and college years. What was your weight, playing weight, in high school?
Playing weight in high school, I want to say I was probably about 350.
Holy smokes, 350, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. When you entered high school as a freshman, can you give us your height and weight?
As a freshman, I want to say I was probably 6'5", 6'6"-ish.
Okay. All right.
And
as a freshman,
weight was around 350 as well.
Okay. So you pretty much had hit your weight level that you probably currently are now.
I've gained a few since then, but yeah.
Holy cow. Okay, all right. Now, as a freshman in high school, were you immediately approached by the basketball coach?
I was approached by the basketball coach in sixth grade.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Did your size, how many pancakes did you have in high school football? Pancakes. That's where you take a defensive blocker and knock him backwards so he lands flat on his back. How many pancakes?
Oh, I know what a pancake is. You gotta tell me. I honestly didn't keep track all that much. I was more concerned about, just winning.
Okay. Would it be safe to say that you could eat 35 6-ounce pancakes in a setting? 35.
I could probably do that, yeah.
Okay. Well, there goes my thoughts of challenging you in a pancake eating contest.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
All right. Well, Paxton, would it be safe to say that your mom and dad are your biggest fans?
My dad really doesn't come out to see me wrestle all that much. No, I wouldn't say they're my biggest fans, no.
All right. Did you have any brothers or sisters that you backyard wrestled when you grew up?
I do have a brother that's about 3 inches shorter than me, who's also an on-and-off professional wrestler. And when I was younger, he would wrestle with me, and I would come out on the losing end of that, but yeah.
Wow, okay, all right. Now, in the smaller 300-pound range, 300-pound even.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was your brother in the 300-pound range even?
Yeah, he's hovering about 300 pounds. I mean, when I was younger, he was 13 years. He still is 13 years older than me. But, yeah, when I was younger, he definitely had the advantage on me.
Boy, I would have hated to see your mom and dad miss Bill.
Yeah, I cringe to think about it, even knowing what my bill is now.
Would it be safe to say that you could drink 3/4 of a gallon of milk in one sitting?
Yes, absolutely. I could drink most of a gallon of milk in one sitting.
Wow, all right. A lot of most people, 99% of the population, can't drink a gallon of milk in one sitting. It's very difficult for them. And if they do, when we're talking about big guys, they usually vomit it up. It's a fact. Yeah.
I mean, talking about a gallon of milk, I probably would throw up because, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot. I'm
yeah.
sure Andre the Giant could have done it. Andre the Giant, yes.
Yeah. I'm sure he could have, too. I mean, the man did drink, what, 123 beers in one sitting?
Yes.
That's the number?
That was like 50 pounds of liquid weight. Well, so.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Paxton, do you hope to visit Russia one day and wrestle, or do you give the edge in visiting to Puerto Rico over Russia?
Man, you're really coming at me with the tough questions here. I would also like to go to Russia to wrestle. I think that would be an interesting trip to take.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I asked it because Kurt Angle had quite a bit of visits to Russia while he was a collegiate wrestler and wrestling in the amateur ranks. Kurt Angle made up.
Yeah, he won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
That's true, yes. That's very inspiring. And I believe he went up against a wrestler named Jahidi in Atlanta. Jahidi, he was an Iranian. He won the gold.
I believe that's correct, yes.
Yes, yes. Wow, okay.
I actually watched that not too long ago.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Wow, yeah, mm-hmm. I think also during that during Atlanta, he had problems. Kurt had problems with his hip flexor, I believe. Hip flexor. Yes.
I haven't heard that personally myself, but
okay. Well, Preston, would you be able or willing to be a part of a lucha tag team with a lady wrestler? And if so, would you be called La Nina and El Capitan Nino?
100%, I would love to be part of a lucha tag team. That sounds awesome.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay. Is it your goal one day to visit Mexico and maybe wrestle down there?
I'm trying to travel all over the world, so Mexico is definitely on the list.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow, Mexico. Okay. Well, now, Mr. Calloway, what is the last name Calloway? Is that Gaelish or Irish in nature, Calloway?
I believe so, yes.
Well, okay. You'll have to see or do a search if your family has a coat of arms. And if so, can you get back to Sign Guy with your coat of arms?
I will do my best to research that for sure.
Wow, all right. We'll look forward to that. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. Scalway, last week we had on a wrestler named Gino Rivera, and he was in a match with a wrestler named Pinky. Now, Pinky came out to the entrance, came out of the entrance curtain to the sound of R.E.M.'s song, Everybody Hurts. Can you tell us what entrance music you use or whom your favorite bands are?
The entrance music that I use currently is Transylvania Transmission by Rob Zombie. I think it just gives off kind of a menacing vibe. It's a very calculated pace to walk to. Favorite bands? All-time favorite's got to be Metallica. listen to a lot of kind of hard rock metal bands. So I'm oftentimes out of concerts when I'm not on the indie circuit.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you a huge fan of the Big Bang Theory's Amy Farrah Fowler, and do you like her harp playing of Everybody Hurts?
I'll watch the Big Bang Theory occasionally. I don't think I've seen that episode.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll give you a turnbuckle homework assignment, which we are famous for, and it's your homework assignment to look up Amy Farrah Fowler plays Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. on our harp.
We'll do that for you.
Oh, okay. That's great. Because pretty much every week we assign homework assignments. They're very important. We have a full folder full of that. Okay.
Right. Trust me, being in college, I know all about homework assignments. So
it would be very honored if you, Mr. Calloway, could adopt at least for one match Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. as your entrance music, inspired by Turnbuckle Turmoil. That would be great.
I will look into doing that for you.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Calloway, I'd like to remind our fans that Gino Rivera, whom we had on last week, had school colors that were red and black, and his mascot was the Knights. Can I ask what your high school colors were and what your mascot was in high school?
My high school colors were blue and gold, and we were the Warriors.
Ooh. Blue and gold and the Warriors. Okay, I'm writing that down. Okay. Blue and gold. Wow. And the Warriors. W-A-R-R-W-A-I-O-R-S. Okay. Now, speaking
of... I'm a big fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers, so it kind of hurts that I was a blue and gold Warrior there for a while, but I digress.
Wow. Now, were you a big fan of the 1970s movie The Warriors, a movie about a gang in the Bronx trying to get back to their clubhouse and surrounded by other gangs, the Warriors?
Warriors come out to play. Yeah, I'm a pretty good fan of that movie.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, they had the token black street gang member and an all-white street gang, and, you know, he had the afro of the late 70s. I liked him the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, the Warriors. And the guy was clicking the soda bottles together, the glass. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mr. Calloway, on the subject of mascots, I don't believe that Mega Championship Wrestling, who you have wrestled for, has a mascot. Why can't we have mascots for wrestling organization? Say if World's Best Wrestling had to choose between these three mascots, which one would you like? I'm going to give you three choices here. How about the Gooey Duck, inspired by Evergreen State College, or the Banana Slug, inspired by the University of California at Santa Cruz, or the Fighting Artichoke, inspired by Artie, the Fighting Artichoke of Scottsdale Community College? That's the Gooey Duck, the Banana Slug, or the Fighting Artichoke. Which one would you choose?
I'd probably have to go with the Gooey Duck, since that's the closest approximation to a Division I NCAA team. As for why we don't see mascots for wrestling promotions more, I never really thought about that, but I think it'd certainly be interesting.
All right, you might want to bring that up with your next promoter about mascots. That would be good. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Calloway, do you yourself have a match on July 14th with Mega Championship Wrestling?
Yes, I do. I will be defending the Mega Tag Team Championships with my team, The Process, Dr. Dan and Cree Fudo. And we will be defending against Weird World.
Oh, Weird World. Ooh, now can you tell me a little bit about this Weird World?
I honestly don't know too much about them. I kind of have to take a look and see what I can find out, see what I can exploit.
One can only wonder what their entrance music is. That's a good question.
That is a very good question. I don't have the answer for you.
Now, is it true that at Mega Championship Wrestling, if you pay the VIP prices or pay for VIP sitting at their shows, you get free pizza, beer, and soda?
That is very true. You get all-you-can-eat beer, all-you-can-eat pizza. It's a great price, $20. If I was on the show, I would certainly pay that entrance fee to get all the beer and pizza so I can eat and drink.
Now, it's not the Domino's pepperoni pizza because, in my opinion, they're a little bit skimpy on the pepperoni. It's not Domino's, is it?
That I don't have an answer for. I'm not in charge of that. I'm in charge of going out and beating people up. I'll make the decisions on the pizza.
Oh, you might be the one that asks a fan forcefully to turn their head and ask, what the hell is that? And then when they do, you might take a slice of their pizza. Am I correct?
I'm not going to tell them to turn their head. I'm going to take it right in front of them.
Oh, wow. Holy smokes. Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well, Mr.
Well, what are
Calloway,
they
going to
care? They can go back and get a free one.
Well, that's true. That's true. A free one. Yeah, yes. You got us there. Yes. Okay. Mr. Calloway, can you dunk easily now on a 9-foot basketball rim? 9 foot.
I would hope, since I'm 7 feet tall and 9 feet is in regulation.
Yeah, that's true. All you have to do is extend your arm above your head. Yes.
Yeah, I could do that standing still without having to jump.
Wow. Okay. Right. So I take it, Mr. Calloway, that you have not had any traumatic or serious knee injuries or torn ACLs.
No traumatic knee injuries at all.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Knock on wood.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Calloway, is it your plan to become, eventually, a member of the Cauliflower Alley Club?
The Who's He What's It Club now?
The Cauliflower Alley Club. Cauliflower Alley Club.
You're going to have to explain what that is to me.
Oh, well, the Cauliflower Alley Club is a gathering every year, believe in the Las Vegas area, and a lot of your Hall of Fame professional wrestlers gather there, and managers.
Oh, well, then absolutely. That is my goal to one day be a part of that club.
We have had several wrestlers here in the Northwest and referees go down and visit the Cauliflower Alley Club. It's like a convention.
Okay.
And every year they have inductees into the Cauliflower Class Hall of Fame.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
Yes, so, I you could do a Google search on it, or just look on Facebook at Cauliflower Alley Club members.
I'm already doing that as we speak.
Oh, very nice. Okay, very good. All right. And they have a lot of memorabilia there, of course, at the Cauliflower Alley Club.
I get it. Okay. Well, I'm I should have known that. I should have put two and two together for that. But yeah, all right.
Okay. Now, can we now we realize that you had blue and gold as your school colors in high school? What were your colors in college?
In college, our colors were green and white.
Oh,
and we were the Rock Pride, which is for Pride of Lions.
Oh, Pride of Lions.
Yes.
What did you call it? A Rock Pride?
We didn't have a nickname or anything. Like we weren't like the Slippery Rock Blanks, like the Ohio State Buckeyes. We were just Slippery Rock University, but we kind of referred to ourselves as Rock Pride, which is, you know, like a pride of lions.
Oh, okay. Right. Wow. Okay, pride of lions. Okay. Well, I guess that would be better than a pride of hyenas.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say that would be true. The hyenas usually get eaten by the lions, or they scavenge off the lions, so they're kind of not in the same league as the lions.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Calloway, I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guy, and thank you for making a choice among the three classic meatball dishes. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Great talking to you.
And boy, am I glad I didn't try to guess your zodiac sign. I probably would have failed.
I would have defeated you. Yeah, would have had that on your record forever.
Yes. Okay. Back to you, Sungai.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Calloway, wrestling shows are pretty diverse. You have different types of shows out there. Some of them are more hardcore shows. Some of them are adult-only shows. Some of them geared more towards being family-friendly so children can attend them. Do you have specific types of shows that you most prefer working on as far as what it's geared for audience-wise?
Right now I haven't really discovered a preference that I have. I like working all kinds of different crowds because it kind of helps me develop ring psychology in different ways. I just kind of like working in front of different crowds.
One of the things that wrestlers, especially on the independent circuit, make a lot of their money is merchandising. We see everything from t-shirts to photos to key rings to stickers on merchandise stands all over the country wherever there's a wrestling show. Do you yourself have a line of merchandise out that fans can buy so they can support you monetarily?
Currently, no, I do not have any merchandise, but I will be working to rectify that in the near future.
As someone that has been on several shows with a lot of the people there in the Midwest, I'm sure you have seen a lot of the merchandise out there. What's some of the more interesting pieces of merchandise that you've seen people try to sell to the fans?
I've seen Holodead sell her little plushie doll. I never really thought to do that, but that kind of gave me some ideas I could kick around. I haven't seen anything else too outlandish, but again, I'm only 8 months in the business, so I'm sure that'll change with time.
And we have a game that we like to play on the show. It's just a little no-wrong-answer game, but we call it Fact or Crap. I will throw out the name or a urban legend, if you will, that's made its way around wrestling. And just based on your own experiences and your knowledge, you tell me if you think it is a true fact or just a bunch of crap that the wrestlers made up in the locker room sometime. Are you ready to play around?
Oh, boy, I hope this doesn't get me in trouble. Yeah, I'll play around.
All right. So your urban legend is that prior to WrestleMania 1, several promoters got together in an attempt to hire Bruiser Brody to jump the guardrail and attack Hulk Hogan and Mr. T before the main event could start. Do you think that's a fact that actually happened, or just something the boys made up in the back one day?
I think that's something that the boys just made up in the back one day. I think that might be crap.
All right. Well, as a bigger wrestler, obviously you're going to be using more power moves. I'm sure you're not going to be executing a lot of moonsaults and tope and heels and that sort of thing.
Hey, don't.
You never know. That's very true.
You never know.
I mean, I would not doubt it if you did utilize those things, but usually guys your size execute, in addition to those things, a lot of the power moves. What would you say are some of the more underrated power moves that wrestlers should be utilizing more often?
Underrated power moves. I like the standing leg drop. And by that I mean you kind of like what the Big Show does. Hold them by the back of the neck, lift your leg up, and just drop it down while they're standing.
Fair enough.
I think that's a pretty underrated one.
Very true. Now, QT mentioned the Cauliflower Alley Club earlier, and I do encourage you to look into that organization. It's a very good organization to be a part of for anyone that either wrestles or is a lifelong fan of wrestling. Now, just in your own area there in the Midwest, do you have any type of organizations you're aware of that kind of support the history of professional wrestling or like has a group of people involved so they can do the get-togethers and the conventions and that sort of thing on a regional basis?
I'm sure that it exists in some fashion, but as far as I know or have heard, I don't know anything about something like that.
Now, wrestling in Ohio, like you do, Ohio is a fairly large state. A lot of listeners may not realize how large it actually is. When you look at the landscape of things, just for Ohio specifically, do you see a lot of younger talent like yourself coming on the landscape, or is Ohio more veteran-heavy these days as far as independent wrestling?
I think there's a very solid mix of veteran and young talent in the state of Ohio currently. Just a lot of the guys I've been training with, a lot of young guys that other promotions I've worked with. There's a lot of young talent. There's a lot of great veterans that are helping young guys out too. So there's no sort of wrestling talent in either age group out here in Ohio.
That's very nice to hear. It usually helps things when there's a good mix. Well, we are down to the final few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that you have plenty of time to say anything you would like, plug and promote anything you'd like, upcoming appearances, social medias, your favorite donut shop, anything in the world. Floor is all yours.
Well, like I mentioned before, July 14th, Mega Championship Wrestling. We're actually going to be in North Ridgeville. It's going to be Night Under the Stars. Saturday Night Slam. $20. Get you all you can drink beer, all you can eat pizza. Should be a fun night. I encourage people in the anyone listening in the Cleveland area to definitely come check that out. Later on in the month, yeah, I'll be at the Black Diamond Wrestling. Moving forward a little bit in September and October, I'll be in Midwest Wrestling, which is in Marion, Ohio. And other than that, I'm constantly looking for bookings, so if you want to see where I'll be next, I have a Facebook page, just search Paxton Callaway. That's about it, honestly.
Well, Paxton Callaway, I want to thank you for taking time today to be with us. I appreciate it greatly, and I want to wish you well as you continue with your career, and hopefully our paths will cross someday in a locker room at some point.
I appreciate you having me on, and I thank you for the encouragement, and good luck with your next interview and all your interviews to come. I hope I run into you at a show soon.
Absolutely. Well, fans, if you have not checked out Paxton Callaway yet, make sure you do so. Get on the bandwagon early. I think he's going to be a great young talent. Now, as we end the show today, I got a little bit of sad news to report. Matt Capitelli, who a lot of listeners will recall from the WWE Tough Enough series and who a lot of you will remember from OVW in Louisville, just passed away earlier today. So as we end the show, I want to do our traditional tin bell and rest in peace, Matt Capitelli.